Going to leave you on unless we start getting some backbeat, and if we do, we'll turn it off. But I think you hopefully can hear clearly right now. Is that correct?
I can, and if you need for me to mute, I can do that as well.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. I'd like to call the study session of the University City Council together on November 25th at 5:30 p.m. Before you, you have the agenda, and I believe that City Manager Rose has a couple of changes he'd like to make.
Mayor and Council, I would ask to move item J2 and J5 to the City Manager's Report section of the agenda.
And that is the internal audit and the space needs study, which I think several members had asked about. So thank you very much. We'll make that amendment during the meeting. And now I'll turn the meeting over to Mr. Rose.
Honorable Mayor and Council members, this item asks you to hear a presentation from Chief Hampton on the advances in our community policing effort. Chief Hampton will also touch on a project that we're partnering with Washington University on that would also fall up under community policing that is intended to improve safety in certain areas of our city. So I will turn things over to Chief Hampton. Chief?
Good afternoon, Honorable Mayor, Mr. Rose, City Council members. I'm coming before you today not only for the community outreach efforts, but public safety updates and enhancements suggesting throughout the city or that have already been put in place, as well as touching on the forthcoming joint effort with Washington University, just a forefront at the end of that. First, this is the technology and equipment that we currently are utilizing for the University City Police Department. Those are car cameras, one-step GPS devices in all of our fleets, and mobile data terminals being updated as of this fiscal year. So those are in-house and being shaped up to be put in. Several of them have already been put in for the MDTs, the computers, and that's just updating the computer systems that we have. Mobile ticketing, giving us the ability to generate computerized tickets. Supervisors, FTOs, as well as investigators have all been trained on the AR-15 rifles that are in the vehicles, that are, as well as the tasers. We're talking 30 new, and those tasers were purchased by way of grants that we earned through the federal government. Approximately 30 tactical rifle vests added. That is also a matching grant that we obtained through the federal government. Several combat armored shields purchased through all the flights. 3 drones that we house here in University City, as well as access to several more at the fire department. We currently have 4 drone pilot operators, and I just want to be proud to say that we're the first police department to have FAA approval for day and night flying within the St. Louis County area, St. Louis County region. Combat condition robots. That the robot is in-house, and that is combat condition. I wanted to try to give you a demonstration of that. It's for time purposes. We want to keep things moving. But it is a very nice tool to utilize for the officers to keeping everyone safe. Technology and equipment, new patrol bikes purchased for bike patrol units that we deploy within the residential areas that are adjacent to some of these the student living for the Washington University area, the Ames, the Park Place, the Rosedale Heights, several other areas that we utilize the bike patrols for trending purposes. Riot mace control containers, different from the mace that we hold in our belts. These are larger containers that you can utilize for jail cells, rioting, situations of that. Fully equipped, combat-ready riot control suits. We have those in-house. There's currently a push right now for SLAPCA. They're getting back into the MRT, Mobile Reserve Units, basically to supplement St. Louis County's tactical and civil response units if need be. So there is code 1000s, code 2000s, and on up that the chiefs associations have worked together along with the fire departments. UCPD is currently working on a Ring camera program. We have a MOU that is currently being address with Ring. It's the Neighbors Program. Neighbors by Ring is a nationwide program that Ring and other companies have created to enhance public safety in communities like ours around the country, creating a virtual neighborhood watch. Excuse me. Neighbors Portal is a law enforcement. It gives us access to a platform. That platform, you see, comes at no cost to the law enforcement agency or the city that the law enforcement agency is in. The community engagement, the law enforcement's ability to join the conversation on the Neighbors app. It's very similar to some of the social media apps that are out there. However, with virtual surveillance that you're able to expand and look into areas that you normally wouldn't have to have that time access. You would have to go door to door for that. However, it's Neighbors, this Neighbors program, these are citizens, these are personnel that they sign up for this for reduced cost. They sign up for that to say, okay, if I have anything outside on the public access property, that basically I'm going to share that with this Neighbors app. Alerts, ability to post alerts, get those quite a bit on my phone. I have a Ring doorbell. I only have one camera on that. I have a Ring doorbell, and that posts up every time something in the neighborhood, 14 miles away, 4 miles away, whatever the case is. Video requests, the ability to request videos from Ring device owners who may have captured footage that you know would be vital to something in that area, i.e. something as drastic as a homicide, or i.e. something as simple as a shoplifting. Now we're getting into the V5 gunshot detection systems.
Sorry, Chief, if you could just go back real briefly,
yes, sir.
Just to let them know, our intention is to bring forward a program that focuses initially on some of the neighborhoods that where we are experiencing the most severe crime. So we're going to be asking you to pilot the Ring program before we make a full offer citywide. Thank you.
Yes, sir. And this is also technology used to not only keep citizens safe, officers safe, everyone around, patrons, whatever the situation is. The portable access for these devices that's offered through this company that we've researched and had this pilot program with is far beyond some of the devices that are out there that are even more high dollar costs because of the hard wiring that takes place for some of those other companies. Whether that's gunshot detection, whether that's video surveillance with analytics, on-site portable video surveillance, on-site portable license plate readers, all give the tools necessary to keep a neighborhood, a community safe from trendy crimes and situations that may occur not only within your community but on your border. In an effort to continue that and provide that, this is why we're partnering with companies of such, and it was a 120 days. It actually started mid-July to a couple tweaks, and the period went from August and still currently going. They've left it in place pending our decisions on what's going on as far as moving forward with the devices and with the they're still in place within the community that we serve. Number of gunshot calls. These are calls, not actual verified incidents, but we took reports whether or not we find evidence or whether or not we get two or more callers. Sometimes you can get prank calls. You can get crow calls. It's what they call those, and basically to draw you out of an area into an area to facilitate a crime somewhere else. And as you see, these are not the numbers on the. This is to the left, that 2030, that is not the number. That is actual Cogis number. So that's the top three hotspot areas in this. We're all within Ward 3, and that's District 1, District 1, 5, and 6. Those are relative police assignment areas, police assignment beats that we have. So pretty much everything that you're seeing right there, that is north of Olive for those particular areas of the districts and the ward. The solution is, of course, just the technology itself, like I say, it's coming from California and making its way out to the Midwest. The portability and the flexibility of this device or these devices is far beyond. And we've they've already reached a MOU with Ameren to go up and down the poles. Some of our public works workers, like Mr. Gates, they have all been versed and trained in how to adjust these devices at our request, at the company's request, whatever. And that means that we can go from one area to another area if need be. We don't have to have these devices all throughout the city. The multiple sensor approach, it gives you the triangulation of a possibility as to where the sound came from. And they do decipher pretty well the sounds between fireworks, car backing, gas backup, just loud transformer sounds, whatever the case is. It does help distinguish and differentiate between that and gunshot detection. Some of those facts about the multiple units to use to detect, and I know I previously went over some of these into Windows as far as this information for why and how the system is successful and what the situation is. Now we're going to move into some of our community programs. I want to recognize Mr. Cohen and Mr. Zelenovich. Keep mispronouncing that name, but Volunteers in Police Service is now activated. They're going through the training phase with a lieutenant, with a sergeant, and they're getting the aspect of radio protocol. These are both citizens that have graduated from the Citizens Police Academy, have successfully did ride-alongs, have successfully did everything that's been required of them, and we have secured a non-police personnel vehicle with a clear-cut sign and clear-cut instructions as to what these volunteers and these citizens of our community, one of the main requirements being a University City citizen, is for in the forefront of that. This is one of our community policing programs that has been started and activated. Community programs. There's several juvenile diversion programs that we're involved with. The Juvenile Conference Committee, since 2014, we're one of four communities within St. Louis County that does that. And meaning that these are alternatives for kids that would normally just get dismissed from a referral at the family court, at the St. Louis County Family Court. However, we see the social deviation there, so we want to give them and the family resources on obtaining a clean record going forward. And the new program is I'm very excited about. This currently looking in the MOU stage is the Juvenile Detention Alternatives Initiative. It's a pilot program that we're trying to put in place for a year. We've been working very hard, several meetings with the St. Louis County Family Court, but this goes all the way from ages 9 to the new age of 17, which will be coming very shortly. They're trying to move the date up from 2021 to within the year of 2020. The funding is what they're worried about and what they're focusing on getting that. Consists of first-time juvenile offenders for victimless crimes, shoplifting, the first-time offense, a nine-year-old in schnooks stealing something. And you know that the family court would not entertain something like that. However, to get the resources for them, the family could be a cry out for help, something within the foundation, something within the family, and there's something else that we're trying to get. I want to go back to the JCC real quick. We have several members not only from family court, St. Louis County Family Court, like former U-City assigned DJO, Deputy Juvenile Officer Mary Morales. She heads up that JCC. We have now our chaplain, Alverta Smith, is on that committee. We have Ms. Officer Cynthia Gill, which is a school resource officer, on that committee. So they sit and they hear cases that come towards them, and they decide what resources are best for the child. This is a juvenile diversion program in Savannah, Georgia. The Front Porch is a collective committee amongst law enforcement, juvenile detention. Let me go back to that. Juvenile detention, family court, counselors, school counselors, all of such, all under one house. I actually got to travel to Savannah, Georgia with the family court. Chief Rick Gaines, the chief of the juvenile officers of St. Louis County Family Court. We went to Savannah, Georgia on their dollar, on the state's dollar, for the JDAI program, as well as Lake Charles, Louisiana. All in starts of these are communities that have these type of programs already in place, and even further than just the program itself of the juvenile diversion, they have it in-house at one place. So not only for the detention, but it's all in-house for counselors, school counselors, and such. The purpose of the multi-agency resource center, MARC, is, and this is something that St. Louis County is trying to start, streamline here in this region, and University City is one of the first target areas because of our cooperation with them. So meaning that more resources and more opportunities for curbing recidivism, curbing juvenile social deviation within our community. Now we're going to move on to the Delmar Loop. This is a drone footage from up above. We fly these every day that we try to, even without the hints of looking for any type particular crime or any, just to get the footage, just to get the understanding of what we're looking, what the proactiveness of the use of the device, of the technology. Going to the that's day, this is night. Different aerial views that you can see that comes out. And this is not even the largest drone that we have. These are very good cameras that you can see shooting down onto the Tivoli, Muni Lot 1, as such, the parking garage. Move on to the Loop Special Business District, Part 1 Crimes. I do want to start off by saying I do want to reference that drugs is not a Part 1 crime, so it is not something that the federal government tracks. It's not something that the state tracks, but we track in-house to make sure that we keep abreast of the trends within our area. So seeing from 2009 to the current year, and we're going to see a different angle of that on a couple other slides, but the Part 1 crimes, the homicide, rape, robbery, assault, burglary, larceny, motor vehicle theft, arson, and then, of course, we added on to the drugs as a Part 2 crime. Part 1 crimes in the Loop Special Business District area, which is an area that is quite frequently used by the patrons. Of course, we understand the tourists, but the students of Washington University, the faculty of Washington University, and so we want to understand that all the officers take a proactive approach of keeping that extremely safe with the commercial business district, our main commercial business district that we have in the community. You see a slow decrease all the way through from 2009, over 174, almost 200 Part 1 crimes, and two different refocusing of the area and the strategic planning deployment for the Delmar Loop area. You see the large percentage of the overall crime in the Loop Special Business District, over 85% are larcenies. Now, some of these are dine and dash. Some of these are preventative crimes, and they still do that, whether it's the Peacock Diner late at night, whether it's, in general, a patio dining, and, yes, I'm just going to slide out on my bill. That counts as a larceny, counts as a Part 1 crime for us. You see the homicide, the rape, the robbery, the assault. You see the different pie chart as to what is occurring as what's being charted. And this is current. This is up to, I want you to understand, this is up to November the 19th. So I had my crime analyst, Danella Lang, draw that all the way up to from January 1 to, and this is for 2019, up to November 19th. All of these stats that I'm going over for the Loop are up to that date. Larceny, course is always a trendy thing, whether it's unlocked doors, whether it's a cell phone on a patio table, a purse on the ground, whatever the case is, a lot of opportunists out there. Whatever the case, we don't see pickpocketers no more, but you know that is something that would play into something of the larceny at landscape. Drug violations. We always want to monitor the drug violations. These are the drug violations within the Delmar Loop. Whether those are arrests or whether that deals with a possession, whether that deals with the possession with the intent to distribute. You see different numbers fluctuating, and that's what most stats are going to do, fluctuate, but the focus and the deployment of the strategic planning of what we do is sometimes we do a lot of stings down here already, undercover stings that we try to take off some of these personnel that's pushing these pills, that's pushing anything of sorts that's illegal. Public safety. Get into some partnership with Washington University. Helps us enable law enforcement, fire, and EMS to quickly connect with valuable resources, intel, information. These partnerships that we have in place, I see Jamal Davis from Washington University Police Department, and thank you for being here. Definitely the partnerships that we have. He actually is the host of one of our every 2 week criminal information and intel, and you'll see me go over that a little later, but he hosts that within the Rosedale building or several other locations, and University City actively participates in that along with some other clever use of public and private video cameras. They have access to a lot of cameras within their campus, some on the outskirts of their campus. We partner well with them on that aspect, efficiently integrating technology in law enforcement so we can prevent disaster while ensuring the safety of police officers and first responders. The community camera program is an example of this smart and effective use. Our community camera program is like a beta version of what we're trying to do with the Ring program. And so basically you have to sign up within the community camera program. So we don't have immediate access to your device, but we know that you have footage that you're willing to share with the police department. It's the very same thing with the Ring program. Ways of public safety enhancing with this data, increasing real-time situational awareness. Situational awareness is a key component of keeping officers safe on the streets and managing situations more commendably. In order to accomplish this, public safety agencies should be integrating and layering data from different sources, analytics, partnerships, collaborations, which is what we're proposing to even enhance with Washington University, even enhancing our partnership and our collaborations, enhancing the sharing of analytics. Predicting crime. Predictive crime involves leveraging data for multiple sources, leveraging it for hotspots of crime, leveraging it for predicting where the crime will move, where that trend will move to. Using social media, there's definitely been a proactive engagement of using social media even before Ms. Bamberg, but even more now with the communications director on. Anything that is directly not involved with a criminal justice affair on the beginning of it, the initialing of it, like the press release for a homicide, we have to handle in-house because there's very, very delicate information that can be released at that particular time, but using her and her platforms to get that out on a mass scale is very useful. Lights to curb the crime. There was a study right now, study that was completed between Public Works and law enforcement. Myself and Sanan Absalon, we worked together identifying the highest crime areas that could use enhanced lighting to help deter some of that crime. Some of those crime areas, and those studies have shown improved lights in high crime trendy areas assist in deterrence. Now, the Ameren LED lights, you hear some complaints on them, the ones that they're putting in, and some of the ones that are competitive with the private organizations that can use some of these LED lights, and that's something that we're still working on with Ameren ourselves. UCPD and Washington University PD joint operations. We, like I say, regularly schedule criminal intelligence meetings amongst UCPD, Washington University, St. Louis City, Metro Transit, their security now, Clayton Police Department, and St. Louis County. We all meet at this intel criminal exchange information. That's what that is referenced as a criminal exchange meeting for better strategic planning and trending, giving criminal trend information to each community, to each organization, and that's real time disseminated. UCPD, WashU, we have joint patrols already in place, but of course, looking to enhance that even further is something that is up for that discussion. And that's residential areas adjacent to the Danforth campus. This patrol initially was started back in the 2000s, early 2000s. It's been revamped and updated. It has come and has gone. It has come and has gone depending on the trends. However, it's been in place now for months and is definitely successful as far as curbing, preventing, as well as a quick response to some of those code violations by some of the students in those areas. Bike patrol units are also deployed in teams. We deploy with Washington University. They also have their own bike patrol unit, but we deploy with them in certain residential areas and for community policing issues. We train with Washington University for rifle certifications out at the range, firing range. So we just the same AR-15s that we utilize, they have similar rifles and similar training styles that we have to rely on for certification for those weapons. High-profile events such as presidential debates, WILD, Mardi Gras, St. Patrick's Day, 4th of July celebrations, court verdicts, etc., require detailed strategic planning meetings, which our command staff facilitate with very smooth joint operations and correct staffing. So these events, we don't just let come upon us. We know about an event that's coming, and we understand sometimes we get emails, phone calls, or we know this is coming. What are you doing? We're planning. We're meeting. We're strategizing on how to deploy, how to respond, how to react, and prevent some of the situations. Crime prevention through environmental design is utilized not only at UCPD but for Washington University and their security for security audits. We have several crime prevention. SEPTED is what is referred to. Each organization has trained SEPTED personnel. The SEPTED report for our enhancement of our collaborations with Washington University right now is growing, and I can tell you it's already over 120 plus pages that we're putting together. Those were audits done by help with the drone footage, whether that's Ackard Walkway, whether that's Greenway Walk, whether that's the parking lots within the Delmore Loop, parking garage, East Gate, West Gate, any you say anything of such. Washington University owns and operates a regional hub at 5977 Delmore. Is a common location for the these different organizations to meet on some trendy issues. Currently, you'll see a St. Louis City police car, a St. Louis County police car, a Washington University police car down at the location, and that they're dealing with the Metro Transit situation down there. So that is a joint effort that goes on, and we understand that they have that hub. And lastly, I want to say for everybody, spread the word to everybody to lock your doors. There's not a trend of breaking the window. There is a trend of checking to see if a car door is unlocked. A lot of people do not realize that even with the extra fob, you can take the fob that you utilize on a daily basis, but if you leave that extra fob in the vehicle, your car is going to automatically unlock. That is something that I want to actively spread, and I spoke with Mr. Rose, and we'll probably be doing something more on a video chat to the community. But having that extra fob even hid in the car, glove compartment, mid-council, is going to automatically unlock your door for most of these new-age technology vehicles. So don't make it easy on them, especially during this shopping season, which is why I want to get some of that information out again for the community. And lastly, come up on to the question section. And I can flip back to any screen as needed.
Mr. Hales.
Thank you. Thank you, Chief. I have a number of questions, mostly clarifications. To jump back to the Ring neighborhood portal, I've had some conversations with people who expressed hesitancy, thinking that somehow you have access to their cameras. My understanding is that the police department has access to the public portal where residents choose to share with their neighbors the footage they have from an incident. Is that correct?
That is correct, Councilman. A TV news reporter interviewing a St. Louis County officer, and I think she kind of miscorrectly spoke on some of the information that was out there as far as us just pull a law enforcement agency being able to just pull footage. You have to get a subpoena for anything that is available that is not being cooperated on. So anything that's being cooperated on, that means that's of consent. But anything outside of that consent, a subpoena would have to be issued from a judge and a court order.
And as part of this pilot program,
yes, sir,
that we're talking about, does if a resident signs on to that, they are giving their consent to cooperate, letting us, the city, know, letting the police department know that they're willing to share that as part of the pilot?
That is correct. And their sign-on and their MOU is only with Ring, not with the city itself. So Ring is the community, is the organization that would notify us of that cooperation once they've secured the MOU with them.
Okay, thank you. And then on, I think it was about page 7, it was the number of gunshots within U City and the hotspots. It says total of 67 shot fired incident reports. Are those 67 different incidents, or are those multiple people making the same report on the same incident?
No, those would be 67 different incidents. However, some of these incidents make the only justification of that report would be that we have more than one caller. We had more than one reporting person doing the same time frame, maybe doing the same sounds. I heard three shots. My neighbor heard two shots. However, we may not find any evidence of any foul play within our community. Could be on our border, could be anything of such, could be a car driving by, whatever the situation is. But yes, those are actual reports. So we would take a report. That report alone right there would not hurt us on a part one stat, just taking a report without justification as to someone being injured, property damage, someone being targeted of such.
And then last question, the numbers of 2030, 2080, are those units dispatched to a specific area within those districts?
Those are the geographical code areas. I actually told my crime analyst I didn't want those in there at the time, because it confused me at first. I said 2,000, that doesn't sound right. But no, those are so it's 203.0, 208.0. It's just not reflecting that on that. That's just something that she had to utilize to bring up that information.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Clay.
Thank you, Mayor Crowe, and thank you, Chief, for your report. A few questions for you. The gunshot detection software, in reading the slide, it sounded like that was bundled with a camera and a license plate reader. It's all in one. Is that correct, or is it?
The pilot of that was all in one. So they showed us several different devices just to see whether or not we were interested in these devices. We have license plate readers and cameras that's far outside of this organization or this vendor or this company, and this location, we've never purchased a camera from this company or any other device from this company. So
I thought we were just focused on the gun side, but there was a slide that mentioned all those things.
So right.
I just wanted a clarification.
That technology is out there. Of course, those devices and that equipment is far less than a gunshot detection device.
Yeah, that's what I understand. Want to laud the department for being involved in the juvenile diversion programs. Mm-hmm. Do we have a sense, and not looking for an answer necessarily right now, but how many young people we've been able to, to divert into those programs? Because I think that's a real feather in our cap. It is, if we can capture young people and get them on the right path after a mistake, even though it's a more significant one, I think we're all the better for it.
Right, and we do have a sense. That's one reason I was approached by Chief Rick Gaines of the St. Louis County Family Court. This is one of the communities that makes the most referrals for juvenile offenses. juvenile offenders. We have, for the St. Louis County area, we're speaking only for the St. Louis County region, but we make one of the most referrals to their systems, to the family court, which is the juvenile detention system. So with that being said, they look at those numbers. They're practicing juvenile detention alternatives initiative already. So meaning they're 58 residential space for confinement is only being utilized at about 50%. Now, because of their practices with this field, and the reason being is because of the recidivism. As once a child has entered detainment and being in detention, it far increases their probability of being detained as an adult, mm-hmm. incarcerated.
Right.
So they're using it. There is a lot of different alternatives that are being utilized and discussed. Thus is why the research in Louisiana and the research in Georgia, they also went to Santa Cruz, California. So they're actively doing this, not only just here in St. Louis County, Boone County. When we went to some of these locations, we were partnered with Columbia, Missouri area, all of such. So it's a active program that is being discussed to be vitalized and utilized within the entire state of Missouri.
Two more quick things. The district map, is that on the UCity website?
District map.
I feel like it.
For the
The district maps that
it is on our website okay, where it says crime stats, crime statistics.
Okay, that's what I thought. But I think it's important for our citizens to know what districts.
And it also has the coaches, the geographical coaches on those systems as well.
And finally, we know as we prepare to celebrate Thanksgiving this Thursday and the winter holidays in December, we know that the Mardi Gras season is not too far away from us. And while Councilman Hales, I know, stands ready to step into the breach again, we hope he does not have to do so. So can you talk a little bit about the preparations to make sure that we have a tamer Mardi Gras this year?
Well, like I say, the approach is strategic plan. You can always plan for something, and kids try to adapt. Young adults try to adapt. They know if we've arrested or issued summons in one particular area, they'll move it to another area. And they bounce that from different locations. So the point is understanding the response and the punishment and the consequences that comes with doing that is far greater and is increasing, not only for them, but maybe even for the property owners, which will leverage a little bit more of responsibility for not only the tenants but the property owners who are renting to these kids that are violating those rules. But, yes, we plan. We've already met. There's something that the lieutenant has spoken. You know, it's several things that we utilize to curb that, whether that's, of course, in during that time it may be too cold for bike patrol, but that doesn't mean that we will not have foot patrol periodically in certain areas. Doesn't mean that you won't have static patrol. Static patrol is a stationary vehicle. That means that this is something that someone that is focused strictly on this area, because we have tips that this is where something is going to happen.
And I don't know if we will receive another update, before that Mardi Gras time, but it might be important to get some information about the preparations as you get closer.
Okay. No problem.
Mr. Clay took quite a bite of that apple, didn't he, man? Mr. Cusick.
Thank you, Mayor Crowe. Chief, I just have two quick questions. The drug violations-related incidents, what percentage of those? You said some of them were possession and some were distribution charges. Do you know what just a quick, rough breakdown of that is? I guess what I'm getting at, do we have an issue with people coming into University City selling drugs on the street?
No, I don't believe so. When you say University City as a whole or
all right, even the Loop?
Because those are stats only for the Delmore Loop.
For the Loop, yes.
For the Loop, I don't know. Definitely not as a whole for coming in and trafficking in there. The Delmore Loop is a melting pot. It is a combination of east-west. It is a combination of St. Louis City and the St. Louis County area. So meaning that, yes, there are a lot of areas where people would like to meet up, but the use of those drugs sometimes constitutes a felony arrest, the possession of that, the amount of that they're in possessing. But no, we're not seeing kingpins and middle drug lords setting up shop in the Loop because of, one, camera technology, two, police presence, three, you have security presence in that area as well. So understanding that, they kind of shy away from business commercial areas. So these majority, I don't have the breakdown for say as to how many are possession or within, because you can possess and depending on how you have those drugs packaged, we can charge you with intent. You can be charged with intent, and if the prosecutor and the judge sees fit, they say yes, those charges are fitting for something like that.
Okay, thank you. And then on the ways of the public safety enhancing with data information in the second one where you say predicting crime, can you explain exactly what that is? Because what kind of stands out to me is this some kind of profiling?
No.
What is predicting crime and how is that different from profiling?
Predicting crime is utilizing the analytics to your favor, meaning that if Clayton just had 15 vehicles rummaged through, you got to expect that the areas adjacent to Clayton, Missouri, may be next, may be on the target, may not be the next night, may not be the very next day or what have you, but you have to foresee that, okay, they're familiar with this area, they were successful in that area, and they may respond back within that area, but with a little tweak, with that little tweak taking two steps across the street and being in University City. So that alone is the prediction of the type of crime, the analytics, nowhere near profiling. I do understand that racial profiling is illegal when it's utilized in an illegal format. However, when a large 6'6" male wearing a hoodie shot and killed someone, I'm just using this as a hypothetical situation, that description becomes a profile. So that profile you have to put out to say, okay, we know it wasn't a 5'6" male with no hoodie. It was a 6'6" male with the hoodie that perpetrated this crime per the witnesses, per the independent witnesses. So that's just an example.
Thank you.
Yes.
Due to technology, real quickly. Ms. Carr, do you have questions? I'm going to go to Mr. Smotherson, but just checking to see if you have questions as well.
Not right now. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Smotherson.
Thank you, Mayor Crow. Just a quick question. If you go back to the slide that says Loop Special Business District, and it's just the... And my question is, it's just simply, so we're talking, this is just crimes in the Loop. Is that correct? This slide right here.
That is correct.
That's just, okay.
Yes,
this does not include the city. This is just the crimes in the Loop.
That is just the crime in the Loop, yes.
Okay.
The crimes for the entire city are still being compiled.
Uh-huh.
That is a more tedious process because it's a much larger ground to cover. And that is something that literally the crimes for the end of the year have to be submitted by the end of January to the state. And then if it's successful, from the state to the federal government. And going with that, I want to speak on that real quick, is MIBRS and NIBRS. MIBRS is the state process. This is something that we're migrating to within this next year. So meaning that these stats are going to look a little different by way of the new federal government mandated system, meaning that one incident right now counts as one, as the most heinous crime is the one that's counted. Thus far, like if I commit several crimes within one incident, then that most heinous crime, whether the least amount of crime is a stealing or a shoplifting or whatever the case is, but my most heinous crime is a shooting. That shooting is the crime that you have to count as your most heinous crime, so as a much larger scale. However, with the new update, all of those crimes will count under different numbering, quantity numbers. So there's going to be a breakdown as to be able to explain each how those crimes are connected, how five crimes are connected to this one incident and to this one person. That's something that's being as updated as we speak, and by 2021, that is another mandate, not 2020, but 2021, that is going to be put in place for the state, the Missouri Highway Patrol, collecting that information, Jefferson City collecting that information, and then sending it on to the federal government. So no more UCR coding after that.
Chief, if you could, real quickly, a couple of things. First, to Joanne and Rose, I don't know if anyone wants to speak. Anyone is welcome to speak from what if you'd like to. We'd love to have any comments or any questions you may have as well. And then, Chief, I think following up on what Mr. Hale said, is there a timeline on the ring program, like when it's...
The ring is very close to implementation as far as the paperwork, the documentation, and the MOU and in place with us as a organization with the ring company. And then from there, the rollout of the information to the different community partners and different community citizens that want to utilize that will take place. So the timeline, you're looking probably at a 3 month, 2 to 3 month implementation period.
Probably closer to a 3 month, 90-day time period.
Okay. Yes, Ms. Carr.
I do have a question. If you've got, if I can,
You have the floor.
Thank you, Chief. When you designate the area as a Delmar Loop, that is not including Parkview Gardens to the north. Is that correct? Just the core commercial area.
For these slides purposes, that does not include that area. However, the joint collaboration that we're working with Washington University will include that. It will include from Kingsland to City Limits East. It will include from Vernon to University Drive. All within that scope of that area, that will be included for that study, that report, and that information.
Okay, so just because it's a little bit hard to hear you because there's a little bit of feedback. So so the operations with Washington University include an area that's larger. So they include both a residential area as well as a core commercial area, but our statistics only reflect the core commercial right now?
These statistics only reflect the commercial area. That is correct. But the program that we're working on and the reports that we're working on, the SEPTED reports and the surveys are including the residential areas, Parkview, Ames Place, Rosedale, U Heights, of such, any of those areas that the not only our residents live in, but they have faculty and staff and students. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Any other questions of the chief? Mr. Hales.
I just have one brief one, and it really, the volunteers in police service, what functions do they do? I know you were kind of racing to get through a lot of material.
The volunteers in police service, they would do multifaceted functions, meaning they could be support services within our police department, whether that's processing area. And that's one reason is a very detailed background check, because you have to be able to pass that background check to be around CJIS approved information, criminal justice informational systems. And that's something that we get audited on from the state. That's something that we get checked on a regular basis to say, okay, what personnel, not only the volunteers and police services, but our custodians have to be checked and vetted for that type of access within the police department and in our surroundings. But they can also be, they're going to also be utilized for volunteers in patrolling, meaning that they're just going to observe and report. They're going to be going to community policing events, neighborhood block parties or neighborhood block watches and meetings of such, especially within their own neighborhood area, neighborhood association area. So just reporting and that radio protocol training, teaching them how to report that information to the police department, to the dispatchers, to the officers, to the supervisors.
Chief, thank you very much. Just for the record, make sure that everyone knows that all members of council are here, including Ms. Carr, then by teleconference. We thank you, and we will have the public meeting starting in about 10 minutes.
Yes, sir. Thank you.